You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy collides with real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. These days, algorithms are often used online to track shoppers' habits and advertise, even to kids. That's something our next guest knows well. If you remember the G.I. Joe cartoons, you're going to recognize his voice. His name is Bill Ratner, and for years, his voice on TV helped market and sell toys to kids. And that eventually gave him some pause. So Ratner rethought how to bring up kids in the age of TV and smartphones and tablets. His book is called Parenting for the Digital Age. In it, he tells the story of realizing his own daughter was glued to TV.
She could handle that remote like, you know, a NASA captain handled a space capsule. So I have a dear friend who was helping me with the house, and I said, let's see if we could just rewire the entertainment system. And so I had this electric switch installed halfway down the basement in the wall that couldn't readily be seen. And when I'd say, honey, we really can't be watching television. Daddy wants to turn it off. No, you don't. I just turned and I'd go down the steps and I'd flick the switch and there'd be another scream, but it wouldn't be at me. It would be at the television gods. How can you do this to me, Daddy? The TV set's broken. And I'd say, oh, no. That was my first kind of subterfuge at trying to control the digital media in my home with my children.
You've written this book, Parenting for the Digital Age, and it seems to me that a lot of this is really about communication and boundaries. And I'm wondering why it is that you felt you had to perform a deception on your children as opposed to just say, no, I'm the dad and these are my rules.
Blowback from your children at all ages is really rough. But those moments for parents, I think any parent listening has those moments, whether it's a tantrum from a 2-year-old or a screaming fit from a 16-year-old. Why can't I have the car?
Right, you're terrible. You're the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate my family. Don't you scream that at me. Okay. I hate my family. That's a real conversation I had with my then 13-year-old daughter.
A lot of parents worry about this stuff, and yet I don't think most of them have what is, I think, from your book, an internal challenge for you. Anyone listening could hear it in your voice. You have a great voice. Tell us how you make your money.
Well, I'm a voiceover guy, and I do TV cartoons. I was Flint on G.I. Joe, which every American male between the age of 32 and 48 will probably remember.
Yeah, and one 38-year-old female radio host.
Oh, excellent, excellent, great. Thank you, Lizzie. This show particularly, along with Transformers at the same time, was created in the early 80s, during which time broadcasters and retail advertisers from Ford Motor Company to Hasbro to Mattel said, we need some relief. These FCC rules about not being able to advertise kids' toys within the show that has the characters, these are outdated. So the FCC relaxed rules about children's broadcasts in which action figures were never allowed to be advertised if they were characters in a show until 1982. When I went into Toys R Us and every other toy store in America in the early 80s, after we started this show, G.I. Joe, and after Transformers started as well, the amount of toys and the number of hours of commercial advertising aimed at children had skyrocketed within just about a year and a half's time. And I suddenly thought, well, gee, I love this cartoon work and then the voiceover work is fun, but I'm part of the problem.
Yeah, do you feel guilty?
No, not anymore. I created
but you
a program.
Did.
I don't know if it was guilty or it was just there was a conflict. It was like, wait a minute, I'm actually causing this. I went into the LA public schools and created a program called TV Cartoon Scandals Media Awareness for Children. I felt responsible.
The idea that the children are targets of advertisers, that seems relatively straightforward, if large, when we're talking about, say, television. But it becomes a much more nuanced and complicated thing when you add in cell phones and tablets and Facebook and all of the screens with which we interact now.
Yes.
Tell me about the rules that you came up with your own daughters, and then in these families with whom you had conversations in the writing of this book.
Well, we banned cell phones during certain hours of the day. We'd take them, and I'd literally put them in my sock drawer. There was a fascinating article, a series of articles done by a New York Times writer who interviewed Steve Jobs not long before he died. And he said, boy, your house must be an amazing place for your children. And he said, no, it's not. I ban this stuff. And he said, what do you mean? Well, I know exactly what it does. And he and his wife had devised a very, very strict control structure to keep his very inventions for the family out of his house.
You can't hit a proverbial kill switch everywhere in the world. Were there a couple of principles that you think resonated through the families that you interviewed, or that people and parents can adhere to when they're trying to craft a philosophy about how they're going to move forward?
So the first element to answer your question is really time. Time to veg out, time to stare at the sky. That was a major concern of every parent that I spoke with. Two is the fact that much of the programming and games, from games to magazines to websites, is being created by total strangers. You have no idea what their values are. So the issue is control of time, control of content.
I guess I just have one last question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If I had your kids in the studio, what would they say about the rules you guys set and how you did?
Well, I think they'd say, you know, what my parents did was well-intended, didn't always work.
Bill Ratner is the author of Parenting for the Digital Age. Thanks so much.
Yes, thanks, Lizzie. Really fun.